My name is Andrea. Today I am a grant writer at the Y. Tomorrow I'm going to be probably a football coach at the Y. And then Sunday I think I'm going to leave the Y, but Monday I come back and I'll be a training partner at the Y. And so I'm the CEO, which means that I clean bathrooms, or I wipe sweaty noses, or I help little kids get their snow pants off over their snow boots, which is always a fun task if you want to start your day. You remember that? How many of you have kids? And they take their pants off. Their snow pants and their boots are still on, and then they're sitting on the fighting. I mean, and they're sweating. It's pretty funny. So I'm going to start with a quiz for you. All right. Can anybody tell me? The Y is 170 years old. Started in London, came over to Boston. It was started as an organization that helped young men, get it, YM, young men, adapt to cultures in the city. And it was housing for men. And then they built a gym, and they had a pool, and they had some workout stuff. And then the Y just continued to evolve. And now there isn't, I think San Francisco still does housing, New York still does housing, Hong Kong does housing, because the Y is an international organization. But most Ys don't do housing anymore. We have a mission of youth development, healthy living, and social responsibility. So, who can tell me where the first YMCA in this community was located? 100 years ago. So, little history. Next time you're down by the post office, there's a building to the west, Broadmoor Apartments. Look at the nameplate. Young Men's Christian Association, 1915. I actually toured that building when I first started with the Y over 8 years ago. It's now low-income housing with HRDC. There's a pool in the basement. Just fun fact to know. It's about half the size of this room. Little white tiles, the ceilings being held up by, you know, big, old, massive timbers. When they built that, it was the grandest gymnasium in the West. And it was built for the people moving to Bozeman, young men, who needed a place to live as they were transitioning into agricultural jobs. Gold was big here. It had gym on the top. It had a pool in the basement and all of those apartments. We actually have a piece of furniture in our Y office from when they built that, which is really cool. So that's your history test for today. And now you know something about Bozeman that people don't typically know. All right, so next question. Oh, I've got so many. What national holiday was invented at the YMCA? Do, 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 do. Okay, you're going to get the Jeopardy buzz tone pretty soon. Father's Day. It was created at the Spokane YMCA. The gal who created it, her mother died, and we had this National Mother's Day, and she was very upset that her father raised her, and that she couldn't recognize her father. And so the Y helped her petition, and Father's Day was a national holiday. All right, this is an easy one. Somebody can win this. What sport? There are several. What sport was created at the YMCA?
Basketball.
He created it with two peach baskets. James Naismith. He was challenged by the YMCA staff, which we continue to do this every day. How do we engage kids? And it's winter time. So he took two peach baskets, and he took one of those old balls, but it eventually became the basketball, and started basketball. The other story... There's a story, you know, Ys love themselves, so we always make up these stories, but I'm not sure if it's true or not, that NFL was created at the YMCA. Not that we want to take credit for that now, but we play football. We play a lot of football. It's flag football season. We've got about 400 kids playing flag football, all from around the community, and the quarterback got hurt, and so the coach really liked this guy, and he paid him $10 to come in and play. And then the payment thing started. So I don't know if it's good that we take credit for that or not. But volleyball started at the Y. Trying to think the other major sports, and I'm going on a mind blank right now. But that is what the Y history is. And many people have learned to swim at the Y, play sports at the Y. We've now, the Y is the largest child care provider in the nation, especially of after school care and child care. We, as an organization, as you know, we're just right down the street, built a brand new YMCA here. That is phase one of three phases of our Y, $6 million project that we had to knock on doors and raise that money for. We get no federal money. We get no taxpayer money. We depend on the generosity of people to help us build. So that is phase one. Phase two and three, or phase three and two, whatever comes first, will be the gymnasium, so we can put our peach baskets up, and the indoor aquatic center will also be located on that corner. And yes, if I could have a dime for every time somebody says, so when are you going to build that pool? We'd probably have it built by now. So I'm going to start a collection jar right at the Y, and y'all can put that in. So we employ about 166 people. You would never know that necessarily if you walked in, because our people are out. We are very much a program Y. We provide summer camps for children, so working parents. When you're looking for a place to live, or not live, don't come to the Y. When you're looking for a place for children in the summer, it enables you to go to work. We provide sports programs. We're right now in football. We'll go into basketball. We're now moving into teen sports programs. We'll start a middle school. We feel like middle school, and the trends show that in middle school, children, especially girls, drop off in exercise. And we need to encourage all middle school people, whether they make the team or not. And I'm very concerned about those that don't make a team, because we have one team. And if you're not quite skilled enough, you're not going to play, which means you're not going to exercise. So we are moving into middle school sports. With our new facility, we also have fitness upstairs. And that allowed us to move into helping seniors. In 2024, we are scheduled to have the 14th largest senior population in this community of the United States. So seniors are coming. They love it here. But the opportunities for them, especially those that are on limited incomes, are pretty obsolete. You can't be outside in the winter, although we love the outside when you're a senior sometimes. It's too scary to slip and fall. So we provide health and wellness that way, group fitness classes, fitness, all of that kind of stuff. But a lot of people say, why are you a nonprofit? I pay for my kid to play football. I pay for my kid to go to summer camp. I pay a membership fee. Those payments go to help provide that program and pay for a building. Membership pays for our building. Donations pay for people to play. So if you were to sign up for a program or a membership and you can't quite afford all of that, we all fall on hard times, the Y steps in. We fundraise in order to subsidize that. Last year, we provided $313,000 to our community in scholarships and program subsidies. That is why we're a nonprofit. Everybody deserves the chance, and kids should never be penalized because their parents can't afford opportunities for them. And that's where my heart really is. I think every child, every person, should have the opportunity to have a chance at a healthy lifestyle. We also subsidize programs. One of the needs in our community was children not learning to read. That happens here. Amazing, with the great school systems we have, right? So we started a program called Y Achievers. It helps children in first, second, and third grade that are falling, not special needs, but falling below proficiency on reading. And so what happens, why third grade is so important, this fact will make you cry. Do you know how they decide how they're going to build prisons in your state? Children that can't read by third grade. Why do we need kids to read? Because I don't want to pay for prisons. I want to pay for kids. That is a fully subsidized program. It's a six-week program. We work in conjunction with Bozeman and Belgrade schools. It's not summer school because nobody wants to go to summer school. It's camp. But in the morning, we hire teachers to come in and work in 2.5 hour blocks of phonics with these children. We work with the food bank to provide lunches, because if you could see what was coming to lunch, if lunch came with those kids, it would make your heart sick. We don't need kids living on that, and they can't learn on that. So we partnered with the food bank. They bring in breakfast. They bring in lunch. We work with the kids in the morning for about 3 hours. It's a 2.5 hour, very intensive block with these teachers. Volunteers come in. Where do we need volunteers? We need to read the kids. And they need to read by third grade. If you cannot read by third grade, you can't do math, because you can't read the problem. So it's just a definite downhill slide. In the afternoon, it's camp. We put them on the bus. We're taking them swimming. We're going to Lewis and Clark Caverns. We're going to Yellowstone. We're going to the Grizzly Center. We're not petting the wolves, but we're looking at them. And it is a fun program. We do ask that parents pay something. Majority of our kids in that program are low-income families. Very transient. We can truly make a difference, and have made a difference in the last 5 years in the trajectory of children's lives. In 6 weeks, we're seeing gains in months. A child could come in at first grade. They're at maybe a four-year-old reading level, which is recognizing words and pictures. And we are getting them up to second grade to about a 2.6 level in 6 weeks. Because of the caring, nurturing, the teachers are dedicated to getting those kids to read. So our statistics in that program, the data, is amazing. I will say there was one girl who walked into the program and said, I am not going to read this summer. And by God, she did not read that summer. So she, I hope, that stubbornness will help her somewhere in her life. The other program we subsidize, we were just talking about it, we are starting a new cancer rehab program. There is not one in our community. So you're diagnosed with cancer, which is horrible, scary road. We all know somebody who's affected by cancer in this room, most likely. We probably lost loved ones. 48% of men in Montana will get cancer. So men, screen yourselves, please. But here's the good news for women. 90% of women that are getting breast cancer are surviving. Yahoo! But during those tumultuous times, you have started treatment. It sucks. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You feel bad. You look bad. You're sick. You can't walk to your mailbox. You have no control. You are controlled by the schedule they tell you to come in for chemotherapy or radiation or when your surgery date is. And you sure as heck don't feel like exercising. But studies have proven that if you can continue to move through treatment, you will feel better. It is curbing nausea, weight loss, weight gain. There are so many side effects that come with cancer. So it is not the LiveStrong program. We decided not to do the LiveStrong program. When you do the LiveStrong program, the parameters are very much set. This is what you do, this is what you say, and this is how you're going to do it. Well, I'm a rebel. So one of the missing components of LiveStrong was nutrition. We have a dietitian on staff. So when you have cancer, your palate changes. What tastes good, what doesn't taste good, what you can stomach, how you need to eat. So we added, our program is called Recharged. It's a totally free program for cancer patients. We only ask that you be a member of the Y. Can't afford a membership, we'll scholarship you. It's about a $1,600 program per patient. You come in 12 weeks. You are going to meet with a dietitian. We're going to work on your food. We're going to work on an exercise plan. You're going to work with a trainer once a week. We're going to prescribe an exercise plan for you. And we're going to check in with you. And if we don't see you, we're going to say, did you walk to the mailbox today? Did you take a walk with your kid? So that, there is no other program. I was just meeting with Gallatin County Health Department yesterday. All the other programs, and Becky is going to come see you, Cancer Support Center. She actually approached us to help start this program because she's overflowing. She does a lot of meditation, mindfulness, yoga in a small room. And we have a lot of cancer patients with the cancer center. They're associated with Seattle Cancer. So we're serving a lot of cancer patients here. So we need a program. So that's what's awesome about the Y. We can start it. If there is a community need, it goes back a little bit to what I was saying. Need back in 100 years ago was housing. Well, it's still a need, unfortunately, in our community. But there are more needs emerging every day. Hypertension is coming at us. Diabetes is coming at us. We're looking at starting a diabetes prevention program. That's what the Y can do. So I bored you to death. Talked about different ways to get involved. We have over 70 volunteer flag football coaches, K through 5th. Absolutely hilarious, but an amazing time. I watched a game last week. Quarterback takes the ball. He comes back. It's going to be a pass play. This is a kindergarten, first grade, that age, right? Takes the ball, stands there, turns the ball completely around in, so he can get his fingers in the laces. And then, but, you know, all these people are coming at him. He's like, oh, so they stop the play because he didn't know what to do. We try it again. That's what flag football's for. You try it again. Takes the ball. The coach says, you don't have to have your fingers right in the laces. It's okay. Just throw it, right? Okay. Takes the ball. Goes back. We're all anticipating. We know what's coming. The guy's right there. And he goes, and it's an underhanded toss. And he runs for a touchdown. Woohoo! It's great. We've got basketball coming up. We'll have about 500 kids play basketball. We have PIR days coming up. We have spring break, Christmas break camps coming up. We have a fall into fitness program for adults, which includes diet and exercise. Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to think. We have the Boo Bash coming up for families at the Y. Once a month, we have free family events at the Y. We have a tailgate party coming up for Grizz, Cat Grizz, because it's over in Missoula this year. And a lot of families don't like taking their kids to the bar. So we're going to have a barbecue and tailgate at the Y. What questions do you guys have I missed? What about that C in your name, right? Yeah, Young Men's Christian Association. Each Y in their community, Nashville is a very Christian-oriented Y. There's scriptures on their wall, and they have the right to do that. Our community and our Y is open and accepting to everyone. Because we believe that being a Christian organization is being loving to everybody. I don't know about your history, but I don't think Jesus hung out with the best of people sometimes. But he loved them just the same, and he welcomed them just the same. And we believe that is our duty. We have atheists, we have Hindu, we have Buddhist, we have Christians, Jewish, all different. The YMCA in New York is very Jewish. And they are able to, that's what their community asks them to be. That's what the Y does. What you ask that Y to do is what it will be. So that's the C in our name. It's a basis for how we started. Young men did start with Bible study. But it's not who we are today. Because we have a broad swath of people, nationalities, religions, monetary, you know, socio-demographics. So thank you for asking that, because I always forget. How old do you have to be at the Y? 0, 6 weeks. We run the child care center at the high school called the Hawk's Nest. That's another area where dollars go. We have teen parents. We are serving teachers and teen parents. We have a sophomore in this year who's a brand new mother. And we provide free child care so that they can get through high school. And if they continue after high school, they graduate, that's our goal, get them through school, they can come in and see their baby during the day. We also run a teen young parent program where we're trying to teach these teens how to be good parents and how to hook them up with the services that they can use. A lot of them are homeless or couch surfing with babies. So we work with the health department to get them on services that can benefit them. But we also serve teen parent or teachers. And I was talking to Hawk's Nest because child care is hard. I don't know if you, I worked in child care last week. I had barf all down my back. It was great. But boy, connecting with those kids is fantastic. And I often say to our Hawksnest staff, I'm like, you know what you really do? Like, yeah, I change diapers. And I teach, you know, the lead teachers teach. And I said, no, you enable those teachers to go to work and teach. You are changing our community by empowering their parents to go be teachers, because that's not a high-paying job. We also provide scholarships. We've got about 6 families on scholarship in our child care center. You can't pay for child care, we'll help you. Truly, my passion is exposing kids to different opportunities so that they can find their passion. When they can find a passion, dance, cooking, art, music, sports, it's a heck of a lot cheaper than therapy. Let us help find them something. So Taekwondo, it's only like, I think it's $50 we charge. Dance, oh my gosh, these little 3-year-olds in their tutus, they're so darn cute. It's $35. We just want to expose kids, teens. We're starting a free teen leadership club. It was funded by Alpha Gamma Rho at the university. It's an ag fraternity. They had a party. They walked in with a check, and we had talked, and one of their tenets is leadership. It starts this weekend, a new teen leadership program, philanthropy work, community service work, leadership opportunities, professional experience. How do you write a resume? How do you go on an interview? How do you change a flat tire? How do you change a bike tire? How do you check your oil? So we're looking at, we have financial literacy in that program, and that we were able to do free. That's another free program we're providing. We ran our first special needs camp last year. It's a half-day program at Hawthorne in conjunction with Family Reach, or Outreach, because it's way beyond my pay grade, the skill set needed to help those kids. But they deserve an opportunity to play and have fun in camp too, just like everybody else. So Family Outreach is a partner with us, HRDC Food Bank. We collaborate with them on lunches throughout the summer and breakfast for kids. Both school districts we're working very heavily with. I entered the nonprofit sector in this community about 9 years ago when I volunteered to be the CEO of the Y for a couple years because it wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. And when I walked into the community, it was a very segregated community. And sometimes we get like this in our jobs. That's my piece of the pie, right? Don't you talk to my donor. That's mine. That doesn't help anybody's boat race. And now what I'm seeing in our philanthropic nonprofit community is a lot of starting collaborations. Collaborations are what bring better programs to people. When you can find use somebody else's expertise to help you, or you enhance their program. Children's Museum too, we were talking to them. I said, gosh, you know, we do a lot of safety training for kids. Child abuse prevention. Every one of our staff has to know what the signs of child abuse are. And it will freak you out if you sit through these presentations, because it's not what we think. It's not the stranger in black, right? It's you or you or you. And you start making friends with these kids, and then you take them down the wrong road. So I said, why don't you guys sit in on child abuse prevention training with us? And she goes, we need CPR and first aid too. And I said, well, come on over, because we're doing CPR and first aid every month. You guys can train. That's how nonprofits help each other be better. That's a very, very important component of helping our community.